Now, a difference, something that was actually pointed out at lunch. We went to lunch with Pastor, and we're just getting out of the vehicle, and everybody else is already in the restaurant, it seems, because everybody here is, man, we're here, we're out, we're going, we're this, we're that, there, okay, we're ordering, now we're off in the UK. Man, we'd still be at lunch. It just takes forever to do anything. To have a simple conversation will take you 45 minutes. Maybe you haven't. If you've seen the movie The Lord of the Rings or anything like that, the Ents have their talk, and they've just said good morning, and it's now nighttime. Okay, that's England. That's how they talk and how they deal with things there. It's just slow. Folks, this is how sometimes we might need to deal with our wants. Oh, I know where I'm going. I know it's right over there. I just can't get there. And people are walking around frantic about what they can't have right then and right there, right at that moment. Did you ever think maybe you just need to stop and let God direct you to where you need to be to get to that want? The children of Israel here, they know exactly what they need. They need water. And they're chiding with Moses. You've brought us out of Egypt, out of this place that had plenty of everything. Moses could have turned right around and said, yes, it had plenty of everything. It also had plenty of slavery and death and bondage. Do you not remember those things? And Moses here could have just turned the corner and said, listen, I'm done with you. I'll let God deal with you. But instead, what did Moses do? Moses went to God just like the children of Israel should have done. But it's not just steady in times of want, it's also steady in times of war. We stopped reading in verse number 7, but let's pick it up in verse number 8. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, Rephidim means resting place. Understand, at this point in time, the Israelites have gone through 40 years of traveling in the wilderness. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And now they're at a place of rest. Oh, it's so nice to find a place of rest. How many of us have been to Salt Lake City, Utah? Yeah. Right? Not many. Okay. If you ever have the chance to go there, I can actually tell you, this I believe is a picture of what Rephidim would be. The Wasatch Valley, the Wasatch Mountains, sitting right there on the eastern side of the city. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous, and I can understand why Joseph Smith. I got that right tonight. I said John Smith the last time I preached this message. Joseph Smith said, this is where we're going to stay. I can understand, because it's beautiful. It is calming. It is relaxing. Rephidim, I believe, could be that very same kind of place. Just gorgeous. After years and years of traveling, just a place of beauty and rest. But the problem is, God said, we're not done. I'm going to bring somebody your way that's going to cause harm in this place of rest. And he brought the Anakims, or Amalekites. Our times of war, folks, sometimes we think everything is done, everything is calm, everything is all right, everything is now no longer going to be hard and stressful. That's when God brings the test. That's when God brings the trial. That's when God brings the hardship. And He says, here's a battle for you. Here's not just a battle, but a war. Something that is going to cause you to have to call upon my name. How often do we actually call upon God's name? How often do we actually cry out to God in those times of war, of battles that we're facing day after day? How many times do we need to go through something, the same thing, over and over and over before we finally turn over to God and say, God, I cannot do this on my own. But all too often, it seems we like to be in that constant throw of battle because, man, without it, I wouldn't know who I am. God, folks, God knows who you are. God understands where you've been and your background and your story. And He doesn't want you to just be satisfied with you saying, well, I know who I am and this is my plight in life. I got to go through all of these things. He doesn't send us these battles to force us to stay in this one spot. He does it to test us to see if we've learned our lesson.
Yes, amen. Amen.
So that when we go through it again, we can go, hey, I've been here before. I know exactly what I need to do. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've learned something.
Yes.
Now here's a new trial. Here's a new test. Oh God, have I not had enough? Why do you want to keep testing me? What did I ever do to you? Is that a most common phrase that we like to say. You know, God, like Moses, could just turn it all right back around and say, I gave you my son. That's what I did for you. And because I gave you my son, and because you've accepted him as your Savior, you need to learn some things. And as you learn those things, you'll be able to help others along the way also. So stop asking, what have I ever done to you? And start saying, what can I learn through this situation? To be steady in times of war is a hardship. To be steady in times of want is a hardship. But we're also to be steady in times of weakness. Let's keep reading from verse 9. It says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Oh, that's a great part of the story, is it not? Now, you might be saying, well, how in the world can we get out of this being steady in times of weakness? Let me illustrate it for you. Okay? All right, I'm going to use Connor today. Come here, Connor. Brother Steve, can I use you also? And Pastor Mix, can I use you? Yeah, come on up here. Stand right there. All right. Now, here's the picture. Moses gets Joshua to go down into the valley with men that have been chosen out to fight the battle. Moses, in the passage we just read, has said, while you go fight, I'll go up to the top of the mountain, the top of the hill. We're going to use Connor to be the old man. Okay? This is Moses. Moses said, I'm going to be there to watch over. It wasn't to say, I'm getting out of the battle. Understand that. Okay, because even as we understand our troops are in foreign lands and they're fighting battles, we're still going through it with them because, folks, they are us.
Amen.
Yes, they're going through the hardship of it, but we have to have people here doing their job too, do we not? So we have Moses on the top of the hill watching out over the battle. As he sees that, he might be praying to God. Now notice, he's got two friends with him. He's got Aaron, who would be the high priest. Okay, so we've got Pastor Mix. And then we've got her. Okay, it's a him, but it's her. The last time I preached this, I was saying, okay, and somebody should be her. And it was like, that other guy. Okay, her is a helper. Her is the picture of the representation of the rest of the children of Israel. So we've got the high priest, and we've got the representation of the rest of the children of Israel. Notice this. They're here and they're watching Moses. They're taking care to see what he's doing and how he's acting and how he is portraying himself. He's watching this battle taking place, and perhaps he starts to raise his hands. Go ahead, Connor, raise your hands, okay? He starts to raise his hands saying, God, give us the victory today. Can you imagine that he's sitting here talking with God at this time? Because he's already gone to God, has he not? He's already gone to God on the children of Israel's behalf. He's there and he's saying, God, you've provided water. You've given us safety through the 40 years of being in the wilderness. Lord, you've done all of these things. God, please help. Fight on our behalf. Now, that prayer is obviously something very short. And if you look at all the prayers, there weren't very many short prayers in the Bible by any of these men. Imagine here Moses just pouring himself out to God, saying, God, work on our behalf. Work on our behalf. God, help us. But he's an old man. Even a young man, after a short amount of time, or depending on how good they are or strong they are, their arms are going to get tired. And Aaron and Hur are watching this thing take place, and they're watching Moses pour himself out to God and asking God to help on their behalf. And they're watching the battle take place down in the valley, and they're saying, man, there's something going on down there. God is working. They were seeing the instant answer to prayer down in the valley. God was working on their behalf. Can you imagine the excitement these two guys had? This is awesome. This is great. But his arms start getting tired and they start to come down. And they're watching this and they're going, man, this is... Well, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Amalek is starting to prevail. Wait, what's... Oh, hey, what's going on here? His arms. They weren't dumb fellas. Okay? They weren't, as the English would say, thick. They put two and two together. They came up with four saying, hey, his arms were up before praising and asking God to help. His arms are down. There's a problem in the valley. So they go, hey, if his arms are up, we're going to win. Because he's obviously still praying to God. He's not just stopped praying because God was working. So they come alongside and they hold his arms up. Now Aaron and Hur, they themselves were not young men. They themselves had things that were complications. And they started to get tired themselves. So they had the brilliant idea, let's get a rock. Let's find a place for Moses to sit down. So they find a place for Moses to sit down. Just go ahead and back up. Because their arms are getting tired. And as they do this, look at how easy that has now become. In the time of weakness, God can shine forth so much more in your life if you allow Him to. If you call out on His name, if you seek His face, if you just let God. Moses here on the behalf of the children of Israel crying out to God, save us in this battle. Help us learn our lesson. Help us learn the lessons that we need to learn so that we can get past this war and this time of want and the time where the people just can't seem to be happy. You ever gone through a time like that in your life? Just not happy? Always wanting something? Seeming to always be in time of turmoil? You come to the conclusion, man, I can't do this. You can't. But God can. God can. Thank you, gentlemen. We are to be steady in our times of want. We are to be steady in the times of war. We're also to be steady in times of weakness. But we're also to be steady in times of work and worship. We come to verse number 14, 15, and 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Notice a few things that it says here in verse number 14 in regard to work and worship. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial." In regard to our work and our worship, folks, when it comes to our faith, there are many who have gone before us who have died for it. Many. I dare say that if I were to ask even just a handful, you probably wouldn't be able to give me names of men who died for their faith to keep yours safe. And I'm not talking about just the Patriot. I'm talking about actual Baptist people and Baptist ministers. Not just here in the U.S., but all around the world. When we're studying our times of work and worship, we will be willing to do whatever God calls us to do. We will be willing to go wherever God calls us to go. Well, I had the men up here as they were holding up Moses' hands. Moses here is a picture of those who are willing to go where God has called them to go. You want to use the term missionary? You can use that term missionary. You want to use the term pastor? Use the term pastor. Folks, the picture is very easy to understand and recognize. Those on the other on the sides who are holding up the hands of that one who is the leader, who is calling out to God on the behalf of the people. That's you. You willing to give of yourself in work, in worship, to lift up the hands of those who are leading us to do the same. Moses is told to write this book. He's right to write this memorial and then rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Now, folks, I don't know if that book is just chapter 17 of Exodus or if that is the rest of the other five books that Moses wrote for us to have in our scriptures. Well, whatever it may have been, folks, the idea is simple, and it comes to this. When we have times to learn something biblical or something scriptural, we ought to be at a place to do so. That means when the doors of the church are open, we're there. That means when we have a chance to have church fellowship, we're there. When we're ready to do something more with the church, a church youth group or church groups of any sort and kind, we're there. We're there happy, excited about what God is going to do in our lives that day, that time, that hour. Not giving, grumbling, complaining. Moses is to rehearse this in the ears of Joshua. We understand that Joshua is the one who was going to take them into the promised land. Joshua was the one who was going to lead the children of Israel to claim the land God has promised them. Joshua needed to be rehearsed these things so that he would know how to deal with the children of Israel. That he would know what to do, what to say as soon as they came to him, chiding with him. Because, folks, the Israelites had a record. The Israelites had that thing about them. Every time that something didn't go right, they went right to the leader and said, "Well, hey, you said." And Joshua needed to be forewarned. The thing is, Joshua knew this. Joshua understood the battle he was going to face with just his own people, let alone the numerous battles he was going to face with others. In our study, in our times of work and worship, can be difficult. But here's a promise. We find it right here. Moses, verse number 15, built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi simply means Jehovah, my banner. A banner that is hung overhead is a sign to others. Here's where we are. Here's what we're doing. Folks, we should have that proverbial banner hanging over our head every single day. To the point that when people see us, they go, "Man, there's something different about that person." They get closer to you. They can almost see the outline of that banner. After they've gotten done talking with you, they should be able to distinctly see that banner overhead saying, "Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner. I talk about God. I think about God. Everything that comes out of my being is about God." But I dare say that more often than not, that is not the case with us. We do not allow God to be seen in a banner across the sky over our heads, but very, very callously, we tuck him away in our back pocket. "Man, if I let people know that I'm a Christian, if I allow people to see that I'm something more than what maybe they know me to be." This is why we need to be steady in our work and our worship. Because if we're steady in doing what we're supposed to do for God, we'll be steady in giving Him praise for everything that happens. We will be steady. But we have to choose what we're going to do. It's easy just to throw up our hands and say it's not worth it. It takes work to be steady. Let me challenge you, be steady until sundown. The Israelites in the valley, had Moses not done what he had done, had Aaron and Hur not held up the arms of their leader, the Israelites would have lost that battle. Let me ask you this, and don't answer out loud, just rhetorical style question. First Baptist Church of Kingstown, are you going to be steady? Are you going to work? Are you going to be steady in those times of worship and work, those steady in times of weakness, steady in times of war? Study in times of want. Will you allow God to work in you to be steady? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you. Pray, Lord, that you would work and guide in us. Help us to be steady until sundown. Help us to be steady as Moses was steady, as Aaron and Hur were steady, as Joshua and the children of Israel in the valley going through the thick of the battle were steady. Being steady, Lord, is simply the thought of allowing you to show us who you are. And I ask you, God, to allow us to allow you that opportunity. Show us who you are. Help us never have the reasonable doubt, reasonable anything to be able to say God didn't work on this behalf, but help us be able to say he hasn't worked yet, and I expect him to, because he's God. We thank you, Lord, for being steady for us. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Mix.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Tonight, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't know what we're talking about, you're not sure any of this is real tonight, if the Lord's tugging at your heart, you need to come and to give your heart to the Lord. But Christians, tonight the message was for you. Are you steady? Are you someone who is steady in the work? Steady when you're needing something or wanting something? Steady while you worship? Are you faithful and true? Can God count on you? Won't you come tonight and talk to the Lord? Won't you come and do business with God? Come and pray. Is there someone that you know that's lost, that God has put in your life? They need you to be steady. They need you to be that steady witness. Won't you come and ask God to save their soul, to draw them to himself? Won't you come and ask God to give you the words to say, to share your faith? Can he count on you to be steady? Until the Lord returns, we're to stay faithful, diligent, engaged, steady. Won't you come? If you're having a struggle tonight, God's got the answer. He's got the peace. He's got the grace you need. You haven't struggled with at home, won't you come and ask the Lord to give you grace? If you're having a struggle with a health issue, come and ask God to give you grace.
Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is
the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Slow and steady. Consistency is more important. More important. In fact, it's vital.
Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are, Lord, I am free.
If you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, all you've got to do is come forward. Let me take you by the hand. I'll show you through the Bible how to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you died tonight, are you sure you'd wake up in heaven? Maybe you just need God to show up and be real in your life. You need God to do something great in your life. He's ready. If you'll just talk to him.
Oh God, how
won't you come?
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Our Father and our God, we love you. Father, you're so faithful and consistent, and God, it is such a testimony and challenge to us to do the same. Father, let our steady, consistent life in front of others be a witness that cannot be thwarted, but Father, will be seen and experienced. Father, tonight we ask as we go from this place that God, you would stir within us a desire to hear you say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless now as we end our service tonight. And Father, we ask that you would bless us through the week and return us safely again in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way now.